You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Now, usually at this time, I say, please open your King James Bibles to book, chapter, verse, and line where we left off last time, but not this time. Today, we're going to take a field trip. We're all going to take a spiritual trip to heaven. Now, I'm going to leave you in heaven for a moment because I want to invite the whole world to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m., First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one, individually, as the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Excuse me. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We're live on the air with radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, yes, that's the Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. So why are we all going to heaven? Because someone we love, our brother in Christ, Mark South, was killed last week in an accident. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, remembering Mark South with love. Good news. There's an old Anglo-Saxon word called Godspell. It means good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us some good news about Mark South. The first good news is that Mark South is not dead. Now you say, just a minute, Sherry. His ashes are in the urn up there. That's why we're here. Nope, 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 nope. Mark is not his body. You're not your body. You think you are. You prep it, you walk it, you feed it, you exercise it, you do all kinds of things. No, 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 you're not your body. Your body is your earth suit. You know how the astronauts have a space suit?
Yep.
You're not your body, you're just in it. Your body is your envelope. Well, who is Mark? Who are you? You are a spirit. Now, don't think Casper the Ghost. The spirit has weight and substance. You're a spirit and you have a soul. Your soul is a unique personality. Every one of you is different like a snowflake. Your soul is your will, the way you react, the way you act, and your emotion, the way you feel. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul, okay? The soul and spirit are always together, and they live in the body. Now, how do I know Mark's a spirit? How do I know you're a spirit? Because God created everything in everybody, and God is a spirit. Jesus told that to the woman at the well in John 4. God is a spirit. Now, when a dog has a baby, it's got another dog, right? When a cat has a baby, you got another cat. When God, who is a spirit, had all us babies, we are spirits. Look at that. How about that? Now you say, but just a minute. Maybe Mark's spirit and soul died with his body. No, God's word is true. God's not a man that he shall lie. The Bible, God's word says, Ecclesiastes 12:6-7, poetically, If the silver cord breaks, that means when you kick the bucket, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Amen. Everybody say return.
Return.
Because we're going to return to the word return. Okay. The second good news is, where is Mark South? Mark South is in heaven. How do I know? The Bible tells me so, God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Well, where's the Lord? Well, wherever the Lord is, that's heaven. Now, you do want to know that the saved in heaven go to the good side of heaven. For homework, you might like to read Luke 16. It's a parable. It's called Paradise. All who are saved, and Mark is saved, went to the good side. But there's a great big wide gulf there nobody can cross over. And on the other side, even lost people go before the Lord for a moment. But the Lord says, nope, you go to the bad side. And they're awaiting the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. So Mark is in heaven. What is Mark feeling? What are Mark's emotions? There's a book in the Bible that was taken out by the Protestants, the Catholics left it in. It's called the Apocrypha. Excuse me. There's a book in there called 2 Esdras. It should have been canonized, it's true. It says that everybody, lost and saved alike, the moment you die, you exult to see the Lord. Wow! Because in the spirit, you know that Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us. But of course, if you're lost, your face drops because you have to go on that other side. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Now remember, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, in his presence is fullness of joy. The word fullness there comes from a Hebrew word, shalom, complete, whole, W-H-O-L-E, nothing missing, nothing broken. In our precious Mark's flesh life, there were a lot of things broken. There were a lot of things missing. Mark knew about a broken heart, broken dreams. He knew what it was like to be terrified, to be afraid, to be alone, to be homeless, and yet in my Father's house in many mansions. But everything now for Mark is complete. Now, I want you to understand that we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and you have to confess, repent, believe in him, and you'll be saved. But once you're saved, works for the Lord become very important. Winning other souls to Jesus, praying for people, and bringing people into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There are levels of completeness in heaven. In other words, there are levels of awards. But each person is satisfied where they are. So, Mark is complete.
Amen. Amen.
Was Mark confused when he took the last breath? Did Mark say, goodness, where am I? What's going on here? What happened? Oh, what happened? No, he did not. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the original Greek, everlasting life means there's not one split second of pause of not knowing what's happening. In other words, we're in a holy sanctuary here. Back there, there's a door, and it leads to the upper room. If you walk from this room to the upper room, and even if I close the door, you still know who you are. There's not one bit of pause, total clearness. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly. I mean, we're kind of confused. We only see the physical. You can only see this piano. You can only see the chalkboard. You can only see each other. You can only see the crosses. But then face to face, we see clearly them. In the flesh, we're in a physical dimension. That's very limited. Most of you only see what's in this room in the physical. But the spiritual dimension, where Mark is, everything is far more real. This is a dream. In other words, right now in this room, most of you only see what's in here, but I happen to have a gift of seeing beyond the veil. Guess what? There's a spiritual dimension in here. There are heavenly hosts in here. There are angels. In other words, and you see clearly, you understand, you understand. Well, since Mark was not confused, what does he know? Mark knows something that he might not have known when he was in his flesh body. Mark knows something about all of you in here and all over the world, my friends, that maybe you don't know. Mark now knows why he was born of a woman's womb and a flesh body. Has anybody in here ever said, "I wonder why I was born"? Have you ever said that? Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. Well, Mark knows why he was born, and he wants you to know why you were born. In heaven, the book of Isaiah says everybody knows God's word. God's word is his love letter, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And in heaven, everybody's language is the word of God. Why is that? John 1:1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word took a body, Jesus Christ, he became flesh. So the word is forever settled in heaven. In Germany, you speak German. In Italy, you speak Italian. In Spain, you speak Spanish. In America, you speak English, etc. In heaven, you speak the word of God. So now Mark knows why he was born, because he understands and wants you to understand. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It says there, the world that then was, used to be, the world that now is, and the world to come. However, the world is from a Greek word, eon, just like that old hurricane, eon, and it means age. There are three ages. There's the age that now is, the one that you and I are in, the flesh. There's an age to come that will be heaven on earth. God's going to clean up the earth and bring heaven down here. And the age that was. And Mark knows now that Mark and every human being ever lived, all in here, all over the world, that we were all with God, but not in a flesh body. No reincarnation. We were all in a spirit body. Now remember I told you to say return?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. If the silver cord breaks, when we leave this flesh body, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you were there before. Mark knows that every one of us there were all created at the same time. See, I'm just as old as you are, and you're just as young as I am. We're all created at the same time. There was no sin, so there was no death, no pain, no crying, no trouble. We're all the family of God, one accord. And Mark knows that we all saw a beautiful cherub guarding the mercy seat. Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah 14. Oh, he was so beautiful. He was so anointed. He was so wise. He was a great musician. He played the tabret. He played the tambourine. He played the drums like Olivia does. Wow, he was good for a long time. But Mark knows that every one of us watched, we were there, when one day that cherub called Lucifer created a sin, and the wages of sin is death. He rebelled against God. He said, "I'm such hot stuff, I'm going to be God." You know what happened? Mark knows that 1/3 of all of God's children, maybe someone listening now, some have gone on, betrayed God also. Revelation chapter 12, and went after that old dragon. Lucifer has a lot of play actor names. Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. He's about to come as the Antichrist, the fake Christ. 1/3 of God's children called angels there. In Matthew 22, Jesus says we're all as the angels. It means children of God minus the flesh. 1/3, maybe some of you, followed that old dragon. Wait, the wages of sin is death. But Mark knows that 1/3 did not. One third fought for God, not guilty. Mark knows that that other third, Revelation 3, sat there and watched the show. Lukewarm. They didn't go for Lucifer, the dragon. They didn't go for God. Jesus says, be cold or hot. You make me sick to my stomach. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for nothing. So God had a judgment. All of us were there, every human being. Romans 8, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those two-thirds were found guilty. One-third was not. God was in a conundrum. God has a law in heaven. The wages of sin is death. But he loved his children. He knew they'd been deceived. He loved us all. He loved you. And he said, I don't want to kill them, but I've got a law. God's word is true. I can't break my law. Now, God is triune. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So the second son there, the second Trinity, Jesus, stepped up the plate and said, hey, Dad, I've got an idea. I will die for them. God the Father said, hey, that's great, son. You'll die in their stead, and then they can come back home. So God said, let us make man in our image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He's talking about mankind, male and female. And Jesus said, I'll take a body too, and I'll go down and pay their sin debt. And if they will confess and repent, they can come back home. So male and female made them. No other genders. Sorry, you socialists, communists, Marxists, only two genders. And he said it was very good. And he made us all red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God says, very good. Jesus took a body, came through the Virgin Mary. There was no sin in Jesus because there was no man involved. And the sin lines in the man there. And Jesus went to a cruel cross and took everybody's sins, all of yours, mine, all those ever will, on that cross. Ouch! He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that you might be saved and go back home to God. Look at that. He died for your sins. Mark knows that. Okay, so now he knows why he was born. Everybody's sent out with the memory forgotten. All of you were one of those thirds. And even the elect who did not commit sin, God said, I've chosen you from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1, 4. He said, I need someone in every generation to bring forth the oracles of truth so my other children can hear the truth and get saved and come back home to be with me. They've been in every generation, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samuel, the very elect right live right now, telling the truth. So that's why we're all here. Okay, number six. Will we see Mark again? Yes. Will we know Mark? Yes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that we do not have to grieve when a loved one dies who's saved, not like lost people do, because he said we can't precede them. They immediately resurrected the spirit body. Mark stepped into his perfect spiritual body. That moment, they're resurrected. And 1 Thessalonians 4 says that when Jesus comes, he's coming back the second time after the Antichrist, that he's going to bring them with him. So Mark is coming back. Can't you imagine that? He's going to be excited. Will we know Mark? Yes. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25, it says, now when Jesus comes, they're coming, their spirit body. We're all going to change our spirit body, saved and lost alike. But it says we may go to them. We may go to father, Lorraine, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, son, daughter. We may go to them. If we go to them, we will know them. So you say, well, when is Jesus coming so we can see Jesus and Mark? Well, the Bible does tells us we don't know the date or the hour, but it gives us the seasons. We are right now on the very threshold of the about to appear Antichrist. He's the fake Christ. He is Lucifer. He's that dragon. He's that serpent. He's that devil. But he's coming with his Jesus costume on, instead of Christ. He's going to say, peace and safety. Give your money all you want. And it's going to be amazing. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. He comes before Jesus. The Bible gives us seven trumps. A trump is an action event. Jesus comes at the last one, the seventh trump. The Antichrist comes at the sixth. Right now, there are two trumpets blowing. All of them have sounded. The fifth trump is sounded now. The fifth trump is a time of learning. Are you learning? Yeah. So you get ready. The sixth trump is an Antichrist, but it's divided into two times. Revelation chapter 13, the first beast there represents the political system of the Antichrist. They are already here in part. There's some more to come. They are communism, socialism, Marxism. So right on the doorpost, Daniel 7, the Antichrist time, the whole thing was 7 years, divided in 3.5 years for the political system and 3.5 years for the Antichrist. But the next one to come is the Antichrist. But Jesus shortened the time of the Antichrist, thank God, for the elect's sake. Because he said 3.5 years is too long for the Christians to take this old devil. Mark 13 says he shortened it. Matthew 24 says he shortened it. To what did he shorten it? Revelation 9 to 5 months. The king of the bottomless pit, Abaddon the destroyer, 5 months. So as soon as the Antichrist comes, two witnesses will tell you that. Then comes Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he's bringing the saints with him. And that's what we'll see, Mark. Hallelujah. 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 Why did Mark die so young? Early 50s is too young. Because Genesis chapter 6, God says, you may live in your flesh body 120 years of your age. Looks like I'm going to make it, 120. Psalm 92 says that you'll be strong and flourishing in old age. You'll bear more fruit in old age than ever before. It doesn't mean your body doesn't get old, but you'll be mentally alert. No dementia. You'll be bearing more fruit. You'll be winning souls. You'll be teaching the word of God. You'll be doing some good. There'll be no dementia. Amen. No kind of Alzheimer's there. And Psalm 91 says, with long life will I satisfy you. So what happened? When good buddy Joshua called Scott and told him the news, and Scott told me, Scott and I broke down and cried over the telephone. We love Mark. But immediately, the Holy Spirit gave me the word of God. The language in heaven, the Holy Spirit is God, is the word of God. And he gave me Isaiah 57, verse 1. Here's what it says. I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm giving you the word of God. This is what Holy Spirit said. The righteous perish, and none taketh to heart, that men are mercifully taken away from the evil that is to come. Mercifully taken away from the evil that is to come. We'll leave it there. What does Mark South want for you? He's aware of you now. What does he want for everyone in this room? What does he want for our wonderful friends all over the world? If you're truly saved, he wants you to win souls to Jesus so they can come with you. He wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you can pray for people. If you're saved but you're going astray, he wants you to repent and come back to Jesus tonight. When this, we're off the air, I'm going to give everybody in here that opportunity. And if you're lost, he wants you to be saved. I'm going to give everybody that chance after we go off the air here. So right now, everybody in the world, Mark wants you to be saved. Jesus died for you. I want you to be saved. If you're lost, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now, and then you can also go to heaven. Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Come into my heart, come into my life.
Come into my heart, come into my life.
Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Wash them all away.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. And tell me where to go to church. And use me to win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. And now I can call you Father. So now I can pray Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible says you need to tell someone. Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a moment, my announcer, my good friend Scott Mercy, is going to give you my telephone number. That's my voicemail. Call me and tell me your confession. And when I get it, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. Now, what you want to do, you can call him Father now. Every day for the rest of your life, read your Bible. It's God's love letter to you, and it'll lead you and guide you and help you to live the Christian life. If you're a brand new Christian, start with the Gospel of John and listen to me because I teach the whole Bible. And every day, Christian, pray to the Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Find a place in your home, shut off the noise, get the dog and cat out, no music. Father in Jesus' name. And let him commune with you and you with him and develop that one-on-one relationship. God bless you. You also may email me not only your confession of faith, you may email me your prayer requests, your praise reports, no grumbling. My email is shari.medlock@gmail.com. Again, shari.medlock@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, I'm going to bless you. Those of you in here, please stay put because I'm going to bless you in a little bit, okay? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Shari Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together all over the world and in here to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Shari Medlock. Shari invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Thank you. yourself in a home. Thank you.
Lord of all creation, your glorious design, you mine. I am known by the King of Kings, majesty, so I will sing. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah.
Fail me now in the waiting. same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIA.
I am born of
You're listening to WMIE Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
If you're still trying to fix the old you rather than grow the new you, you're working on the wrong thing.
Dr. Tony Evans says our only hope for real change is to wake up the divine DNA the Lord built into us.
Spiritual growth, then, is the manifestation of the new nature that God the Father has deposited in each of his children that bears the nature of their daddy.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Bible says once we're in Christ, we become new creations, not just sinners who try to behave better. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about how we can experience that difference for ourselves.
The fictional story is told of a frog who needed to cross the pond, and he was on his way to cross the pond, to hop across, and there was a scorpion who needed to get over as well. The scorpion went over to the frog and said, would you let me get on your back so that as you hop across the pond, I can get across too, because I can't swim. The frog said, well, I'm gonna let you get on my back, but only after I ask you a question. You are not going to sting me, are you, if I help you get across the pond? He said, absolutely not. He said, hop on. So the scorpion hopped on the back of the frog. And the frog hopped across the pond. But wouldn't you know it? As soon as the frog hit land on the other side of the pond, the scorpion's tail reached back and stung him, releasing its venom into the frog. As the frog lay there with life ebbing out of him, he looked up at the scorpion and he said, but you promised me if I helped you out, you were not going to sting me with your venom. And look at me, I'm dying. Why did you do that? And all the scorpion could say was, I'm not quite sure why I did it, other than to say it's in my nature. You ever asked why you do certain things? You ever feel like it's in your nature? When you were born again, saved, converted, regenerated, if in fact you have trusted Jesus Christ as your sin bearer, you are affected at your very core, at your nature. To understand spiritual growth and how you are going to develop as a saint, you have to go back to the nature, to your conversion, which serves as the basis and foundation of your development. So many are trying hard. You want to grow. You come to church. You're serious about your development, but it doesn't seem to be occurring. You go after it more, but it doesn't seem to be happening. That's why we want to talk today about your salvation as it relates to your development, your conversion as it relates to your growth. Understanding the strength of your foundation will assure the strength of your development. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, seeing his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Fundamentally, at conversion, you received a new nature. When Adam and Eve rebelled against the rule of God, they received an old nature. This old nature put them in opposition to God. The Bible uses the term in Ephesians 4, enmity against God. Not only was the very core of Adam and Eve's being contaminated, but every baby born since then has been born with this contaminated core. It's called the sin nature. The contaminated core affects the bad things you do. We could say, yeah, I did that because of my old nature as a non-Christian, but it is so contaminated at the core that it affects the good things you do. The good stuff has been contaminated because even the good stuff flows through a infected core. When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost contact with God. They lost relationship. They lost fellowship because of the presence of sin. They lost that relationship with God. A new birth became necessary in order to address the fundamental problem. And you have to understand, the fundamental problem is not the sins that you do. Those are the fruits of the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is the core from which those sins come from, as well as the core from which your righteous or good or decent acts come from. There is a disease in medical science called myasthenia gravis. Myasthenia gravis is the inability of the nerves to receive signals. In other words, your brain tells your arm to move, but your arm won't move. And the reason why your arm won't move is because in the disease, myasthenia gravis, the motor end plate is defective. Now, the motor end plate has to translate the signal from the nerve to the muscle to let the muscle know what the brain wants it to do. So the brain says, arm, move. It has to be channeled through a motor end plate that tells the muscle, do what the brain says do. But when you have the disease myasthenia gravis, that means that the motor end plate is defective, so the signal is not received by the muscle. When you inherited from your parents your defective core, it was like myasthenia gravis. You were unable to receive divine signals. It required a brand new core. When you were converted, when you trusted Jesus Christ, you became, verse 4 says, a partaker of the divine nature. So at conversion, that was no small event. In fact, the event was so cataclysmic that according to verse 3, it took God's divine power to bring it about. Because we're talking about the very core of your being, your very essence. He says that God gave you him. He calls it the divine nature. Now, we didn't become God. Obviously, we're not God. We can't do what God does. We're not omnipotent, omniscient. We don't live perfectly. All of that's true of God. So the question is, what does it mean that I have a divine nature? What does that word mean? Well, maybe this will help you. By nature, we mean disposition. You say so-and-so has a good disposition or is good-natured. When God saved you, he created in you a brand new, divinely orchestrated disposition that is a God orientation at the hub of your being. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God and got their sin nature, they ran from God. When you are converted, saved, redeemed, God places at the core of your being. He removes the old man, it's called, the old nature. He takes away the old nature and he puts right smack dab in the core of your being a new nature that is drawn toward God. The old nature is rebelling against God and is concerned about sin or self. See, a lot of people will do a lot of good things for selfish reasons. Because even if the thing is good, because the core is faulty, the motivation is faulty. Because remember, at the center of the core is the glory of God. So what God does is he gives you a new disposition or a new orientation, or maybe this word will help, a new capacity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away. What? Does that mean I will never do again what I did before? No, we often do and think things we've done and thought before, but it means that you were created brand new because God put smack dab in the center of your soul a brand new disposition toward him. So that instead of running from God, you are now oriented to God. The job of the Holy Spirit is to draw